So today is Pentecost Sunday, and that's the day that, like Joel prophesied, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out in the book of Joel. And in Acts 1:8, we read of that about 2,000 years ago, how the Holy Spirit was poured out that day. The Holy Spirit was a gift promised to each and every Christian then and now. It wasn't something just for then. It is for now and for every Christian that lives. Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says, I'm going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And in Acts 1:48 says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Luke is not talking here about the Holy Spirit that comes when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord. When we accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. That is not the experience he's talking about. Every believer receives the Holy Spirit the moment they accept Jesus. Luke is talking about something more here. He's talking about receiving the fullness of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift that the Father promised. So let's look at this a bit. We're all sinners. Paul says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of our sin, we deserve death. The wages of sin is death, an eternal separation from God. Yet God sent his Son to die in our spot for the sins so we could receive life from him. Paul tells us that this was a gift from God. It was a gift. It wasn't just something that we had to purchase or something we could earn. It was a gift from God. Our salvation is a gift. And I think you would all agree with that. It's a gift. It's free. There's nothing more to it. It was a promised gift from God. A gift cannot be earned. It's something we either receive or we reject, we refuse. It's important to notice that the Holy Spirit is also a gift which is promised to us. Because we just read in Luke 29, verse 49, I'm going to send you what the Father has promised. And in Acts 1:4, it said, wait for the gift the Father promised. It's a gift. A promise. This means, just as we have a choice to receive the gift of Jesus paying the price on the cross for us, we have a choice. We receive it or we go, no, I'm not interested in that gift that Jesus gave to us, that God gave to us when he sent his one and only Son to die for our sin. I'm not interested in that. We have the same opportunity, the same option, the same choice to receive or reject the gift of the Holy Spirit that was offered to all of us. Oh, Pastor, I've received the Holy Spirit. who came to live in me when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And that's absolutely right. I mentioned that already. It's true. We each receive. But there's more. There's more. There's a gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's imagine I have this really, really nice Mustang. That's a nice car. How many would like that car? In blue? I can put it in any color. Well, I can't right now, but I can put it in any color. Just imagine I have a car like that, and I want to give it to one of you. My daughter, just one. I only have one car, sorry. But yeah, my daughter's up for the car. But just think about it. We would all want that car. It's a nice-looking car. And I give it to one of you. And you go out and you walk around it. It's nice. And you think, you know what? I just want to look under the hood. And you lift up the hood, and there's a lawnmower engine in it. There's a lawnmower engine in it. Oh, yeah. You're probably a little disappointed that there's a lawnmower engine under the hood of this beautiful Mustang. But I have another gift for you. Not just the gift of the car. I have a gift that will power that car, give it all the power it will ever need. It's a custom-built 427 small-block Ford crate engine that drops into that Mustang. That's just about as nice as that car. The ladies are going, who cares? It's an engine. It's blue. Yeah. We got the right color for Mel. But you know, if you don't accept the second gift, if you don't accept the engine, that's okay. Because the car works. And it's pretty nice. Everything works on it. The wipers work. The electric windows work. The heated seats work. The air conditioner. The CD player. And you know, the racing transmission works in it too. Even behind that lawnmower engine. The suspension, the track lock differential. And in fact, it even drives. Even if you don't accept that big engine, it drives. Now, the top speed's only 5 kilometers an hour, but it does drive. You can drive it around your backyard, pretending you're mowing your lawn. But if you accept the second gift, the gift of the engine, with the car, it will work just the same as before. The electric windows will still work. The heated seats will still work. But the car will perform far nicer. In fact, things will work better. See, it'll work to its, the car will run to its full potential. The racing transmission will shift smooth. You will be able to get out of first gear, and you'll be able to shift smooth. The racing suspension will handle properly, and you'll be able to feel it as you go around the curves, and it'll just flow with you. The lock differential will lock up as soon as you put your foot on the gas, and there'll be traction. It will go from the engine to the transmission to the rear end, and you'll be going. Quite a difference. You will experience the fullness of the Mustang. In the same way, when we accept Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, we receive the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We receive those things. Yet when we accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we receive the power of the Spirit, it pours into our lives. And it's there so we can serve God as His witness. It's sort of like this. Now, the fruit of the Spirit has always been there, and it's been in our lives, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. But when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, there is more. That fruit seems to just blossom and grow. It's like having a green apple, and all of a sudden, it's just bright red. It's like having love, but now it's just bursting forth. It's having faith, but now you have the faith that's just incredible to believe anything can happen with God. It just makes the gift, the fruit of the Spirit, just incredibly more. It's not just for us, but it's for others to see. Others will see now the love, the faith, the hope, and all that is there, the peace and the joy. Do you know, when we read in Acts 1 and 8, and it says, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, that word power is the word that we get dynamite from. When I go out on my field and I want to take a stump out of my front yard, sometimes it looks like a field if I haven't mowed it, and I want to take a stump out of my front yard, and it's a big stump, it was a huge tree, I can spend days and days digging with a pick and shovel and axe and remove that stump, or I can just get some dynamite and stick it under there and blow it over to the neighbor's yard and don't even have to move it after that. Or into the river, maybe. That would be a lot of hits on YouTube. You're right. But, see, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes on us, we have power. There is prayer language. God baptizes us with a prayer language that is there where we connect with Him through our spirit, connects with His spirit. There can be signs, there can be wonders, there can be healing, there's words of knowledge, wisdom, visions, and dreams. It's all there for us. It's the gift that was promised to us, each and every believer, not just to the pastor, not just to the district superintendent, not just to missionaries, but to every believer. Every believer. Well, how do we receive that? Let's take a few minutes and talk about that. How do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, I think first and foremost is to realize that, as we've already mentioned, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a promised gift. And we just need some simple faith to receive that promised gift. If I give you a gift, you just need the faith to receive it. You just need to reach out and say, yeah, I believe you're going to give me that, Scott, and I'll take that gift. I mean, the Word tells us that God fulfilled every single promise He ever made. He didn't make a promise and not keep it. So if God made a promise and fulfilled every one of them, if His promise is that He would give us the Holy Spirit, we can be 100% assured as Christians that He would keep that promise. We just need the faith to receive it. In Matthew 17, verse 2, says, He replied, because you have little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. If it takes small faith, small as mustard seeds. You can see the picture of a mustard seed. If it takes faith that small to say to a mountain, I want you to move from here to here, how much faith does it take to say, I'll receive that gift that you promised me 100%, you promised me without a doubt? How much faith does it take? I would venture to say, not much at all. Let me share a story of a lady who came to me when I was pastoring in Kimberley. She was from another church. She was from Village Mission Church. They didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, really. And she came to me one day and she said, Pastor Scott, I need to talk to you. My husband says that I've been speaking in tongues at night. She'd never heard it. But apparently, during her sleep, she was speaking in tongues. He wasn't a Christian, by the way, yet he knew exactly what she was doing. I thought that kind of interesting. So she didn't really feel she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then she said to me, but just the other day, I was skiing. Kimberley's a ski town. She was up skiing. She came down the hill. She got on the rope tow. She was looking around, thinking about God, and started speaking in tongues. Going up a rope tow? Come on. God doesn't baptize people going up a rope tow, does he? He does. He does. It's that simple. That's how simple it is. It's just saying, God, I want it. It's a gift you promised me. I want it. So her big dilemma was, she didn't know how to tell her pastor. But she did in the end. It's just simple faith. That's all this lady had, was simple faith. I read it in the Bible. It's true. I believe it. How many are going skiing tomorrow? Probably not. Probably not a good idea tomorrow. Well, I don't know. In Luke chapter, we also need to have a desire for the things of God and to be open to them. In Luke chapter 6, verse 21 says, blessed are those who hunger, for they will be satisfied. I know we're all hungering because lunch is coming, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about food. He's talking about spiritual hunger. We read many times in the Psalms of David and how he's thirsting and hungering after God. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Having a hunger and a thirst after God. If we will have that kind of desire for the things of God, if we will have that kind of desire for God's Holy Spirit, He will show it to us. He will give it to us, without a doubt. Let me tell you about another story. A couple who, again, it was in Kimberley. It's interesting it was in Kimberley as well, but they attended the Baptist church in Kimberley. They phoned me up, and his mother actually attended the Pentecostal church, our church. And they phoned Kathy and I up one Christmas and said, we'd like to start attending your church, but I have an issue with the Holy Spirit. I don't really believe in this speaking in tongues thing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, but we'd like to attend your church. And I spoke to them and I said, probably not a good idea. You have a real conflict of doctrinal issues there. I would suggest, you pray about it and stay where you are. A year later, actually, just about a year to the day, he phoned back and he says, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want to come to your church. I believe in the baptism. I don't believe that speaking in tongues is for all people. I said, let's get together. So we went over to their house and we talked with them. And I said, you can come to our church on one condition. You believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's good. All I want you to do is come with an open heart towards God. I want you to be willing to receive anything God has for you. Nothing more, nothing less. Well, that's exactly what we want, Pastor Scott. Great. That's all I want. They came to the church. The first Sunday they were there, his sister and her husband actually were visiting from Prince George. Very charismatic people. They came. We had a service. We were worshiping. And then his sister spoke out in tongues. I thought, oh God, you don't know what you're doing. That's the last time we'll see that couple. Anyhow, there was tongues, there was interpretation. I preached, we finished the service. I went to the back door, and this couple left, and he said to me, well, you sure knew that was from God. Oh, yeah, we knew that was from God, yep. And it was pretty incredible. So they kept coming to the church. She had MS, and she wasn't doing very good. She was in a wheelchair. They were sitting at the front of the church because her eyes weren't very good, so she couldn't see the screen. And as she was sitting at the front of the church, we were doing worship, and they both got filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. Just like that. They wanted all God had for them. That's all they wanted. And God had a promise for them. The Holy Spirit. And he filled them. Just like that. They had a hunger and an openness for God to move in their lives. I'd like to tell you one more story. It's my story. As you know, I surrendered my life to Jesus when I was 28 years old. It was on December 20th, 1980. And in January 1981, I was baptized in water. Pretty much from the time I was accepted Jesus as my Savior, I desired the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was told about it right away. I was hungry for it. I wanted it. And back then, there was church services in the evening. We went Sunday nights. I would go forward every Sunday night. They would pray over me, and nothing would happen. And I was frustrated. And I'd go the next Sunday, and I'd get prayed for the next Sunday. And then the pastor told me I was getting baptized in water in that January, and so he told me that, you know, sometimes when people get baptized in water, when they're coming out of the water, the Lord baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. And I've seen people coming out of the water speaking in tongues. I was so excited. That's it. That's got to be it. So when I got baptized in water, I came out of the water. I was excited, but I didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we kept going. And then one Sunday night, late in February, early March, I was at the front of the church. The folks prayed for me. It was a great time of prayer, but nothing happened. I went home. I was a little discouraged, a little frustrated. Kath and I went to bed that night, and she knew I was pretty frustrated, and she said to me, Scott, we're just lying there. Scott, do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, yeah. Do you want to speak in tongues? I said, yeah. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. She says, well, do you want to pray now? I said, okay. So why we didn't get out of bed and kneel by the side of the bed is beyond me, but we knelt in the middle of the bed. Awkward, I know. But we knelt in the middle of the bed, and we started to pray, and it was just about instantaneously, I was baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just came down on both of us. We were both praying and speaking in tongues, and it was just an incredible time. So why? Why was it like that? Why did I get baptized that night with just my wife when those faithful folks had prayed for me time and time again at the altar? Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think one of the things is the fear. It says in Proverbs 29:25, fear of a man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I think there was a fear in my heart of praying at the church. There was that fear. What happens if something weird happens? Like, you know, I don't know what God might do. I don't know about that. I was an Anglican boy. I was raised in the Anglican church. I didn't know too much about this Holy Spirit, just from what I've learned in the last few months. And what if something weird happened in front of people? What if I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I started speaking in tongues and that tongue sounded really funny? You know, I had heard stories about people who spoke in tongues, and I remember this one story about a person, and they spoke in tongues and it sounded like a dog yipping. I mean, that's weird. What if that happened? Maybe people would laugh at me. And so it brought a fear. There was also that peer pressure that was there. Those folks were faithful. They prayed for me. I needed to do it. I needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I needed to have that happen. And I put that expectation on me and that pressure. I think that's part of the reason that I was not filled at the front of the church. See, as I prayed with Kathy, there was no expectations. She said, "Do you want to pray?" And I said, "Sure." But sort of part of me was, whatever, we've done this a zillion times at church. Only my wife. The pastor prayed for me at church. I mean, if the pastor prays, so I have no expectations. Kathy has no expectations on me. She's not placing any expectations on me. There's no fear there. I mean, if I do something weird, it's nothing new to her. I'm weird all the time, so there was nothing new there. And I think that's what it was. But there was more. See, we were a couple, and I believed in Genesis 2:24. I believed it was true. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. See, I think we became closer as one flesh that night because it was the first time we had ever prayed together as a couple. We had never prayed as a couple before. And I think God honored that. That we stepped out in faith and prayed. Now, get it right. I was the one that stepped out in faith. Kath would have been willing to pray with me at any time. But I was just the newbie guy. And I think that's what happened. The fear was gone. And that I was walking closer and closer to God. We became more one flesh that day. There are many ways and many places in which one can accept the gift that's promised, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can receive it anywhere. We can receive it here. We can receive it out there, digging a ditch or walking the dog or doing anything. the first Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1, in Acts chapter 2, there's groups of believers. They're gathered together. And God in His sovereignty just pours out His Holy Spirit upon them. They're not drunk as you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're speaking in tongues because God has poured His Holy Spirit out on them just by His sovereignty, just because they wanted more of God and they were in His presence. Well, that was back then. Acts chapter 10, moving on in the history of the early church. Peter goes to Cornelius' house. He preaches a powerful message. And what happens? In the middle of his ministry, in the middle of his sermon, God interrupts and baptizes the Gentiles with the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking in tongues. Can you imagine? I would love that to happen. Did anybody start speaking in tongues while I've been preaching yet? No. Okay, well, let's move on. In Ephesus, chapter 19 of Acts, we read that Paul has run into some believers, and they've come to know Jesus, and he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit yet?" And they said, "No, we don't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't know about it." Well, Paul says, "Come here. Let me lay my hands on you." And he lays his hands on the believers, and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wow. The book of Acts. Three different occasions or more. Baptism, totally different. But they were all baptized. The thing was, they all received the baptism, the power of the Holy Spirit, because it was a promised gift from God to them. And they had a desire and a hunger and a thirst and an openness towards God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says this: "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on just a few people." All people. All people. All Christians. "I will pour out my Spirit on each and every Christian." All people. That's you, that's me. The Holy Spirit is a promised gift from God to each of us. It does not matter where we are. It does not matter if we're here in this building, or if we're kneeling in the middle of our bed, or if we're out looking at the river or filling sandbags, wherever we are. If we have a hunger and a thirst for God and an openness to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, God's willing to give it. So the question is, do we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of it all?